All right, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you. Thank you for joining us today. And we're going to get back into this questions often asked today. And we're going to get into an entirely new question. We've been covering the sex, all that business that we've been on for the last couple recordings. Sex, the sexed and sexual love, and we done said that so much I'm getting tired of saying it, and sexual perversion. We went over that in depth and found out what our Bibles have to say about that, and hopefully have got some things straight with the Lord, and have no desire to be part of any of that mess anymore, or even think in a perverse way about the word sex, because there is nothing that's perverted about it if you understand what it means and where it comes from. But we don't think like the world does. The world thinks in perverse ways and filthy ways, and it enjoys doing it. The Bible says that they not only do it, but they have pleasure in those that do it, the other ones that do it. So we're not going to be part of that. We're going to study our God's word, and we're going to understand what he says, and we're going to love God's word. You know, if you love the Lord, you got to love his word. His word is good. God's word is good. I don't know what you think about it, but a lot of people think about God's word as being a ball and chain or something like that. I don't know, but and that's the way people think about it before they meet the one that wrote it. When you meet the Lord and you get born again and you become a son of God in the body of Christ, your Heavenly Father takes you serious as a child, and he begins to father you and teach you in his word. And the writer was not kidding when he said that the Lord's word is sweeter than honey. And that Bible is alive. Those words are alive. God is eternal, and God's words are eternal. Did you get that? The Bible says it liveth and abideth forever. God's words are alive, and if you don't think they are, get in there and start reading them and watch what they do to you. Watch how they change your thinking. Watch how they change what you think about things. God's words are alive, and we are glad about that, aren't we? I'm glad God's words are alive. I'm glad we have God's word to look, to study, to find out what the truth is, to fall back on when we have troubles, to search in there and find out what God says about things and what is right and wrong, because the Bible says that your habitation is in the midst of deceit. If you're just going on the thinking that you're being programmed with out there in the world, you're one confused person, because the world doesn't teach anything but deceit. It teaches you the wrong things. It teaches you the perverted things. It teaches you what man thinks. It teaches you humanism and the worship of human beings. That's what it teaches you. And it is absolutely false. God doesn't want us worshiping human beings. He don't want us lifting one another up higher than we ought to be. He wants us humble. And the Lord could reach down here and put his thumb on anybody he wanted to and make you do what he says. But that's not the kind of God he is. He wants you to love him and serve him because you choose to, not because you have to. And I'm glad. I appreciate him like that, don't you? And I want to serve him. I want to love. I love the Lord because I want to love him, and because of the kind things that he's done for me. He has been, there's not even a word that I can say, overly, abundantly kind to me. At my very worst state, when I was least deserved, however you say that, the Lord was the most kind and generous and thoughtful to me. And it really showed me a whole lot about him. And it's one thing to say that somebody cares. It's another thing to see that somebody cares. And that's why the Lord teaches us about charity and teaches us about being kind to one another and to love our enemies. He didn't say be like your enemies or hold hands with your enemy. He said love them. And he's not talking about love them with the world's love. He's talking about love them with Christ's love, the way that Christ would love them. Christ never agreed. When he was here on earth, he never agreed with nobody that was wrong. He never joined in with all the fakes and all the... he never done any of that. But he loved everybody, and he showed them his love. But he also reprimanded people and called them hypocrites and vipers and told the truth. So we need to get in that book and find out what our Lord's really like. And a lot of people think he's just that old lovey-dovey, warm, fuzzy Christ that you can always say, well, Jesus love, you're all right, and I'm all right, and everybody's all right, da-da-da-da-da-da. That ain't what the Bible teaches. And that's not your Lord. Your Lord was a man when he was here. Did you hear that, ladies? The Lord is a man. And Jesus Christ is the name of a man, a human being, man, a man. And he behaved like a man. He was the God-man. You're talking about the Superman. That's the real Superman right there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're going to talk about a whole new question. The question is this. Does God predestinate people to receive Christ? In other words, does God predestinate people to be saved? To be born again? In other words, is there such thing as salvation in such a manner? Does the Bible teach that salvation is for the ones that God has already chosen anyway? The ones that are in hell, are they there because God did not choose them? The ones that are in heaven, are they there because God particularly chose them? Is that what the Bible teaches? There is a couple cults or whatever you want to call them, false teachings in society today that teach that. And if you're somebody that has believed that, the Bible does not teach that. The Bible does not teach that God is like that. That God predestinates people. In other words, they do not have a choice in the matter. I mean, be thankful that you were chosen. And if you weren't chosen, then too bad, so sad. Is that the way God is? Well, does God predestinate people to receive Christ? In other words, before they're born and before this, way back yonder in the woo-woo times and all this, God made his mind up that such and such was going to be born and he was going to receive Christ at such and such time and he's going to go to heaven. Is that the way the Bible teaches? Well, the answer is no. That's not at all what the Bible teaches. It does use the word predestined and predestination. It does use it a few times. But it's not talking about unsaved people or talking about God predestinating people to be born again and some to go to heaven and some to go, the rest to go to hell. What kind of God would do that anyway? Who would want to serve a God that would flip a coin of whether you go to heaven or hell and say, point at the guy standing next to you and say, okay, you're going to heaven and you're going to hell. Well, why am I going to hell, Lord? Because I predestinated him to go and you're the one going to hell. That's all there is to it. Now, who in the world would have any respect for a God like that anyway? I don't know how anybody, if I was going to come up with a cult or I was going to come up with a false teaching, I would come up with a false teaching to where I would go to heaven and I'd end up in heaven, wouldn't you? can't believe some of these people that come up with these teachings and use God's word to try to back it up and say that that God's going to send some people to hell. I mean, what kind of teaching is that? Who would want to come up with a brain stupid idea like that? Well, somebody did, and used the Bible to back it up, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Predestination, and the definition of it means to established or prearranged unalterably. You can't change it. In other words, it's established and it's prearranged, and you can't change it. Now, remember what we're talking about. We're talking about salvation, being born again. Is that what the Bible teaches, that salvation is established and it's prearranged and you can't alter it? No, it does not. Predestination also means foreordained by divine will or decree to determine the future or the fate of something in advance. You know, I doubted my salvation for a long time, even after I was saved, because of my problems that I had, insecurities, I guess, or lack of trust or whatever. Nevertheless, I was saved. I don't know how many times I tried to get saved. I had it so bad that my pastor would tell other people, say, listen, I'm preaching a salvation message and try to get some people to the altar and get them saved today. He said, and watch, TV's going to come up there to get saved. I'm going to tell you what now. When I found out what Christ did, I wanted to make sure that I was saved. But I was already saved the first time the Lord offered it to me. Because I accepted Christ the first time that He offered it to me. But the problem was I wasn't trusting Him. And I'd go up there to get saved and go up there to get saved and go up there to get saved. And finally the pastor told me, don't come up here to get saved no more. Because God does what He says. And when He says He does something and you do it the way God says to do it and you obey Him, then He keeps His part of the bargain. No matter what. Now, we went over what the Bible says, and we went over the assurance of salvation in the letter A. And if you're just joining us, this thing will circle back around, and it'll get into the letter A, and you'll get to go through that study of the assurance of salvation. Be sure don't miss that. It's what the Bible says, that how you can know that you're going to heaven when you die. And it's all based on what the Bible says, not how you feel, not what such and such says, and not predestination and all that. And if you played your cards right or this, that, and the other, it's based on what the Word of God says. Predestination means foreordained by divine will or decree. It means to determine the future or the fate of something in advance. Is salvation a predestinated issue? Now, there's a very popular theory in religious circles which says that salvation is a matter of predestination. It's in Christendom. There are people that believe that, and I don't know if they believe it, but they live by it, and they so-called worship by it. And anyway, it's predestination. That is that you're saved because God predestinated you to be saved. The logical and often stated corollary is if some are predestinated to go to heaven, the rest are predestinated to go to hell. Now, this teaching, which began with Augustine back in around 354 to 430 A.D., and it was systematized by the Protestant reformer John Calvin. Now, you've probably heard of him or heard of Calvinism. That's what this is all about. Now, it was around 1509 to 1564 A.D. when John Calvin was around. Now, it's usually called Calvinism today. It affirms that we have no choice in the matter of salvation. It was settled long before the world was created. Now, this teaching, of course, is a false teaching. Did you hear me? This teaching is a false teaching. And it's false not because I say so, but because the Bible says it's false. What the Bible teaches about salvation has absolutely nothing to do with predestination. The Bible does talk about predestination, but is not referring to whether you have eternal life or not. It's talking about something, a doctrine completely different than salvation. And you'll see that. So this teaching, of course, is a false teaching and is not at all what the Scriptures teach. So let's go over a few things here. First thing, Calvinism. Calvinism teaches that you're predestinated to receive Christ. In other words, you don't know Christ, you've never heard of Christ, you're just living your life in this world, and you never know Christ, you never knew Christ, but pretty soon you're going to come up and you're going to receive Christ sometime in your life, and it's already made up and it's predestined, and when you get to that certain point, bam, you receive Christ. Calvinism teaches that. Now, this is not what the Bible teaches. First of all, the Scriptures in the New Testament that mention predestination, and they do, are not speaking of lost people. The only people that need to be born again or need to be saved or need to receive Christ are the ones that do not have Christ or have not received Christ or are lost. When the word predestination is being used in the New Testament, it's not being used to speak to lost people. It is being used to speak to people that have already received Christ. They are addressing people that have already believed on Christ and are born again. When the word predestination is being used a few times that it is in the New Testament and the Pauline epistle, it's being used because of it's being used to speak to the church, to speak to people that have already been born again and already believed on Christ, to encourage them and to let them know that their God has predestinated them to some wonderful and glorious things after they received Christ. Now, you'll see this in the few scriptures that we're going to read. We've probably got 5, 6, 7 scriptures that we're going to go over and see what the Bible says here. Okay, so they're addressing the people that have already believed on Christ or are born again. Now, this makes a world of difference in the doctrine. If the doctrine's talking about being predestined to receive Christ, that's a completely different doctrine than the doctrine of it talking to people that have already received Christ, people that are saved, people that are in the body of Christ, people that are in the church, and addressing them with this word, see? Completely different thing. It changes the entirety of what the Bible is talking about altogether. For instance, the Bible says the moment that you receive Christ, then, as a Christian, you have a great predetermined destiny. Now, that sounds completely different than you're predestinated to be born again or to receive Christ. The Bible, in the scriptures that we're fixing to read, says that the moment that you receive Christ, then, after you have received Christ, as a Christian, because after you receive Christ, you become a Christian, you are born again, you have a great determined destiny, predetermined destiny. In other words, God has pre-planned a destiny for you if you receive Christ. If you do not receive Christ, this does not apply to you. Now, after you are saved, not before. So let's see some scriptures and see what the Bible says. According to Romans, first thing, According to Romans 8:29, the believer is predestinated to be what? Well, let's read it. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, what's the Bible saying there? Well, according to Romans 8:29, the believer is predestinated to be what? Conformed into the image of Christ. The Holy Ghost does not conform lost people. He does not dwell in them until after salvation. The Bible says when you receive Christ, God the Holy Ghost comes into your body and dwells in you and teaches you and comforts you and instructs you and also leads you in the predestinated destiny now that you now have as a Christian because you have been born again. So the Bible says the believer is predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. God the Holy Ghost does not conform lost people into the image of Christ. Secondly, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, having predestinated us, the writer there, of course, being Brother Paul, the Apostle Paul, having predestinated us, who's us? The church, his brothers and sisters, us, who he's addressing, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The Bible teaches there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, the believer is predestinated to the what? To the adoption of children. Now, that does not mean that God has predestinated you to be one of his children and to adopt you whether you want to be adopted or not. What the Bible is saying is that the Lord has predestinated you, predestinated to adopt you into his family after you make the choice to receive his Son and believe on his Son. Then you are adopted into his family as sons and daughters of God. You become a son and daughter of God. God has predestinated that for everybody that will receive Jesus Christ. Not before. God does not adopt those that will not accept or believe on his Son. They die and go to hell. Thirdly, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says, "And whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Now, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, the predetermined destiny of each believer is called what? It's called an inheritance. The only ones that get inheritance is the ones that are in the family. The predetermined destiny of each believer is called an inheritance. There is no inheritance for the lost. The lost, according to the scriptures, are under the wrath of God and go to hell after leaving the body. Luke chapter 16. So the inheritance that we're talking about, the predetermined destiny of the inheritance, is not addressing the lost. It's addressing the people that have already received Christ and become the children of God and have been adopted by the Lord for receiving Jesus Christ, his Son, as Savior, and believing on him. You see the difference in this doctrine and the the major importance of the difference of this doctrine, of the teaching of one thing, of you being predestined to receive Christ no matter what, and you might be the one and you might not be the one, versus it addressing only people that have already received Christ? Makes pretty good sense after that, doesn't it? Sure it does, because it's God's Word. God's Word nowhere teaches that God picks and chooses people to be born again over others that will not be born again and that will be under the wrath of God and go to hell. Because everyone is under the wrath of God before they become born again and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Listen to this. The moment Charles Philip Arthur George Windsor, that's a mouthful of a name, isn't it? The moment Charles Philip Arthur George Windsor was born into the world, he was predestined to become the King of England. No one would say he was predestined to be born. Did you get that? That is the essence of what the Bible's talking about concerning predestination. The children of God that have already been born have a predestined destiny that the Lord has graciously prescribed to them and provided for us. But nobody would say that people are predestined to be born again, because they're not. The Lord came into the world. He went to the cross. He was buried. He was crucified. He resurrected. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. And he resurrected and ascended back on high to the right hand of the Father and left a choice for everybody. The Bible says, whosoever. That's a choice. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But whosoever shall not call on the name of the Lord and refuses to is going to be damned, according to Mark chapter 16. Okay? So predestination is not talking about that some people are prescribed before time to be born again. The Bible does not teach that any way, form, shape, or how. It doesn't teach that. The moment a sinner is born again of the Spirit, he is predestinated to all of what the Lord says and not before. No one would say he was predestinated to be born again like Calvin does. Calvinism is wrong. That's not what the Scriptures teach. God does not predestinate people to receive Christ. He leaves everyone with a free will. That's what's wonderful about the Lord. The Lord wants to be loved, and He wants you to choose Jesus Christ because you want to and you see the truth and you want to, not because you have to. Do you think God could make you force you to say Jesus, confess Jesus Christ with your mouth if He wanted to? Come on. God does not predestinate people to receive Christ. He leaves everyone with a free will to choose their own destiny and promises them, either way, they will receive what they choose. You talk to the man in Luke chapter 16, he'll tell you, go tell my brothers, don't come here. I made the wrong choice. Paul said that when he ascended up there and the Lord caught him up there to the third heaven, he seen unspeakable things. And when he got back down here and was serving the Lord, going around preaching and bringing in the gospel of the grace of God, the new covenant that Jesus Christ died for, the New Testament, and went around and started the church and started winning people to Christ. When he done that, he started saying, for to me to live and to die is gain. Completely different than in Luke chapter 16. That's what that man said. And that man in Luke chapter 16 never said anything about God sending him to hell and him not having a choice about it. He knew he made that choice. Now let's see some final thoughts about this. This is not a very long study, and it's not that complicated. And it's not, unless, of course, you're overly educated and you think that you know more than God does and what the Bible says. And I'm not against educated people. I'm against people thinking education is more important than what the Bible says and what God says. But this predestinated thing is, I guess what we're doing here in this study is just letting you know that if you hear about Calvinism, and even if you're involved in it and you're listening to this and you're blowing steam out of your ears right now, see what the Bible says. Why would you base your destiny on something that the Bible does not say? Because you don't have a final authority to back up what you're saying, except Calvin, and he's dead. Is he going to back up what you believe when you go through that eternal door and go into eternity? Is he going to back that up, what you're talking about, that you're predestined? Funny thing about it is you don't find out whether you're saved or whether you're not saved until after you die. I ain't taking that chance. You might, not me, man. I'm believing what the Lord says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've called upon his name, and I know I'm saved according to what the Bible says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I did that back in 1980-81. At Rhineland Baptist Church in Ramstein, Germany, in the United States Air Force, when I was over there serving, and went, I was going to a Baptist church that was an American church over there, where Pastor Roy Grigsby was pastoring over there for the military. I heard the gospel of the grace of God, and I got saved. And ever since then, the Lord has been in my life. I can tell you a million instances where the Lord has been in my life and he's never left. I can't explain it to you, but I know he's there. And he has been since that moment that I received the gospel of the grace of God and believed on Jesus Christ. I can't give you the details and the makeup of it and all the mechanical works of it and blobbity, blabbity, blobbity, blob. All I know is, like the blind man, I was blind and now I see. And I've seen since 1980. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the spirit is spirit. Nobody's born again to go to heaven by the prejudice of the Lord. The Lord's not a respecter of persons. He'll save a black man, he'll save a white man, he'll save a orange man, a green man, a yellow man. He'll save whoever will believe on his son. Whoever. Calvin was wrong. Here's some final thoughts about predestination. Listen to this. If God's not willing that any should perish and then turns around and predestinates some people to hell, wouldn't that be a contradiction and make God a liar? God does not lie. Another one. If people are predestinated to hell and heaven, does God have a scale he uses, or just sit back and say that one, hell, or that one, heaven? If he did that, wouldn't that make him a respecter of persons and therefore a liar? Because his word says he's not a respecter of persons. God is not a respecter of persons. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came into the world to save all men. Another one. If God predestines humans to hell and has foreknowledge of it before the people are born, but lets them be born for the sole purpose of being predestined to hell, then what does the scripture mean, he taketh no pleasure in the death of the wicked? Is God a monster? No, God is not a monster, and God does not do that. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Another one. If people are predestinated to go to heaven, then why did they try to be good? Interesting thought, isn't it? Here's another one. If people are predestined to go to heaven, then why are they not concerned and begging God to change his mind and save the lost? Can a predestinated person headed to heaven, no matter what, live among predestinated damned people and not care? Is that Christ-likeness? No, it is not. God does not predestinate people to hell. If people are predetermined for heaven, then why did the Son of God command that ye must be born again? In John 3:7. Maybe because you must? If people are predestinated to go to hell, why does the Bible mean, what does the Bible mean by Proverbs 15:24? Why did the rich man ask that Abraham send someone to his brothers to tell them not to come to hell if they were predestinated for it? Because it's not a predestinated matter. It's a choice. Why would he say, go and preach to my brothers if they had no choice in the matter? Because Abraham said, if they believe not Moses, well, if they were predestinated, they wouldn't come to a choice of believing or believing not. But Abraham said that if they hear Moses preach and they still choose not to, they're not going to believe when somebody rose from the dead. Here's another one. What about Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19? Is that a God of predestination? Listen to what it says. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Does that sound like a God of predestination? No, it is not. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If a man predetermined to go to hell claims this verse and does as the Lord says and goes to hell anyway, doesn't that make God a liar? God is not a liar. The Bible says, if you call upon his name, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, he either will save you when you call upon Jesus' name, or either he will not. If some are predestinated to receive Christ, then why was the book of Acts written to progress salvation from works to grace? Why were the Gospels written? Why the Bible? If it is salvation and being saved that is what is predestined, then what was the Apostle Paul's purpose? If people are predestinated to receive Christ, and that was decided by God, and he was going to save certain ones anyway, then why did he make Christ suffer and him be pleased with Christ's suffering, with it not being necessary? If he already had decided who is going to be saved, isn't it kind of barbaric to cause senseless suffering if God has already favored some and damned others? Christ came to save all men. You getting this? And one final. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. So why would he predetermine people to hell? But that all should come to repentance, the Bible says. Why would the Lord require people to repent if he is going to send them anyway? Why would he require people he is damning anyway to repent? Isn't that silly and foolish? That is not the God of the Bible. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 24, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Do these scriptures that we have read today and the things that we have talked about sound like a God of predestination as far as being saved by God's predestinated will and no choice in the matter? That's not what the Bible teaches, is it? No, it's not. Salvation is a choice by a wonderful God that has provided it through his Son, Jesus Christ. And if somebody will, the Bible says, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Does that sound like predestination? No, it is not. The Lord said, whosoever. And that includes you, my friend. If you're not born again, the Lord will save you right now, right this very second, if you'll bow your head and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that he died for you, that he was buried, and that he resurrected. And the Bible says that the Lord will save you and you will become born again and be birthed into the family of God for eternity. Your choice. And for all of you that are born again, now you have what the Scripture says. And when you hear somebody say that, well, what's the use? God's choosing this and choosing that anyway. Now you know, you see? So praise the Lord that he is a God like he is, right? I love the Lord. I love the way he does things. He's beautiful about it. He's so smart. He is so smart. I don't know how anybody thinks that they can be as smart as the Lord. My, oh my. Well, praise the Lord. It's been good today, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Our question for today was, does God predestinate people to receive Christ or to be born again? No, he does not. He wants everybody to receive Christ, but he does not force anybody to receive Christ. That's why people are in hell now. Because they wouldn't receive Christ. Okay, we're going to stop right there. And we will go ahead and close this recording and stop our study for today. I pray that you have a wonderful evening and go fix you a nice little meal and sit down with the people that you love and just enjoy it and be comfortable and get your belly full and have a good night's rest tonight, and know that your God is faithful, and He is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change on us. His promises are forever, and they can be trusted. And we have God's Word, and He's given it to us. And we have it in our hand that we can physically, visibly see and hear and look at and trust. Amen. The next question we're going to ask when we come back together on the next recording is hell a real place? Is hell a real place? What does the Bible say? All right. We'll talk about that then, okay? And like I say, have a wonderful evening. Go get you something good to eat, and you've had your spiritual food and feel pretty good about it and comfortable about it, and that's the way the Bible does for us. God's Word comforts us. Now go get you some food for your body and get comfortable. I'm going to. That's Brother Thurman. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.